God. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. This is a very wonderful section of scripture and contains a very powerful truth that we need to look at concerning that we preach Jesus Christ. And this section here refers directly to the Apostle Paul and those who traveled with him that we've collectively called sometimes Paul and company. But the truths that are in this section are very, we need to learn from and apply them to ourselves as well. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read it, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. He says, we preach Christ and not ourselves. You know, when we speak the word of God to somebody, you know, the responsibility is to preach Christ. It's not to preach ourselves. It's not to preach a fellowship. It's not to preach biblical research classes. It's not to preach anything other than Jesus Christ. That's what these men did. They said, and Paul had a lot of accreditations, right? He could have told them a lot of things about himself. But he said they preached Christ. And they did not handle the word of God deceitfully. They didn't use the word of God to try and, you know, coerce people to do this or that or the other thing. They just told them about Jesus Christ. It's very simple. It's not complicated. Verse 6, but for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I mean, you know, yeah, we have this power of the Spirit of God in earthen vessels. You know, but the power is great. We have earthen vessels. So when we preach, we're not preaching us, our earthen vessels, and the things we can do and the things we've seen and all that. We're preaching Jesus Christ. You know, many preach their ministries. Many preach, you know, this denomination or that denomination. But the Bible exhorts us to preach Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 5, it would be rather disheartening to preach ourselves as far as I'm concerned. Acts chapter 5. Verse 12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. So they were preaching, and many were added to the church. Verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, go stand and speak in the temple and tell the people all about your wonderful selves. Right? That's not what it says. I made that up. Right? It says, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. They didn't tell them, go tell them by yourselves. You know, they were getting a little upset that people were being won to the church by the preaching of Jesus Christ. So they threw them in jail. And God says, okay, you're in jail, sends an angel, opens the door, go and do the same thing you were just doing a little while ago that got you in jail in the first place. Go and preach Jesus Christ. Tell them all the words of this. The words of this life are the words, we're going to see in a second, are the words related to Jesus Christ. So they got beaten up a little bit. Let's go to the last part of the chapter, down to verse 40. And to them they agreed, when they called the apostles and beaten them, so they, you know, after they had them in front of the council, they still beat them. They commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So that's what they were, that's what the words of this life were the words related to Jesus Christ. They said, don't do that. They beat them, let them go, and their response, verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They started there, got in trouble, knocked around a bit, went back to doing what they were doing in the first place, preaching Christ. That's what we do. We preach Jesus Christ. You know, you meet somebody anywhere in a bus station, or you meet somebody at an airport, or you're sitting beside somebody, you preach Christ. You don't have it in the back of your mind saying, you know, well, gee, I really want to bring this person to my fellowship or to my church or to whatever. That is not even part of the whole thing. You preach Jesus Christ. The best opportunity that that person has to be blessed in their lives is to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And whatever it takes for us to get them there is what we do. Yeah, part of it is we get together in fellowships like this, or we go to churches together and we do stuff. Yeah, for sure. But the motivation, the primary motivation, is to preach to you. That's why if you're with somebody, you know, you may never see them again. So what's the best thing you can do for that person in the few short minutes you might have? Right? You know, preach Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16. Of course, these days, no one gets upset about people preaching Jesus Christ. Mark 16. Verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. At meat, and braided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name they shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, that should be if they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, like he told them to, the Lord working with them and confirming the words with the word with signs following. It's not my job or your job to back up the preaching of Jesus Christ. The Lord does that. That's his job. Our job is to make it known. If you think you got to use your ability to follow through and make the word of God work for people, forget it. Here it says the Lord work. Your job is to speak faithfully. That's your job. That's my job. Tell somebody, you meet somebody, hey, how you doing? You know, have you heard about Jesus Christ? You know, that's it. If you introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ and they get born again and saved and have eternal life, then guess what? The doors have just opened for them to be so blessed and delivered in their lives that they should never need you again. You know, I'm saying that kind of funny, but because we help one another. Yeah. But in the end, our job is to get them to meet the Lord and then directly have access to God, and he'll take care of them. We know that. But if we don't, if we preach ourselves or a ministry or try to coerce people into doing things, and you know, by the word of God, well, we're out of line. In Acts chapter 8, I mean, there's 100 records that talk about this. I'm sure you know. Acts 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, this is when they had just had Stephen stoned to death, and the fallout of that whole ugly event. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Their response to the pressures on the church was to go out and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, told them about Jesus Christ. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. If back in the days of the apostles and this book of Acts, when Jesus Christ was preached, and many people, says many, many people were healed of devil spirits that came out of them, do you think times are different today? Do you think there might be many in need of healing from the same problem? Absolutely. But today, they're couched and hidden under modern terms. Well, how do you find out? You preach Jesus Christ. He preached Jesus Christ, and there were many spirits just came out. So the heck with it. I'm not hanging around here. I don't like that name. I don't want to be around here. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. And so later on, when Philip does this, you know, Peter and John go down and help these guys out there, and then Philip goes off on his way into the desert, down in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, okay, you've done your job here. Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, you understand what you're reading? Understand what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? What a humble man. And he had some authority, and he was still very, very humble to learn. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And this was in the book, in the prophet, book of Isaiah. He's reading verses in the book of Isaiah, and look at the next verse. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, well, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? He didn't know what it was about. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He took that verse of scripture from Isaiah and told him about Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know if Philip ever saw this guy again. In fact, doesn't tell us. Probably not, considering he was, you know, from a far enough away place. But it says in the rest, read the rest of the record, it says that the eunuch went away rejoicing, because the guy, Philip, had told him about Jesus Christ. So now you meet somebody at a bus stand, you tell them about Jesus, you may never see them again. That's okay. You tell them what you know to tell them about Jesus Christ. And, you know, there's no pressure on us, there's no pressure on anybody, but there is pressure if you think you've got to convince this person of a lot of things, or you got to make change their life, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. No, you're just preach Jesus Christ. The Word of God does the work. If a person, you know, Jesus Christ said, the sheep hear my voice, the goats never will. The sheep hear my voice. So when you speak the Word of God and people have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're going to hear you. You know, it's not your job to make them believe. It never has been. No one made me believe. Did anybody make you believe? Force you down, you know, electrodes, believe? No. You eventually came to the truth and said, hey, this is the truth. And that's all it takes. But if the person who spoke to me hadn't preached Christ, then I would never have the opportunity. You know. So I love this record, because it's one man meeting in a chariot, spent the time, and Isaiah explained to him, the guy went away rejoicing. How many of those kind of interactions happen in our day-by-day lives? Many, I would think. You know, so why not preach Jesus Christ? In Acts 17. Verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. There you go. That's what Paul's, oops, I almost ripped up my Bible. That's what Paul's manner was. He would go to places, he would open the Bible, and say, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. He had to die, then he was raised from the dead, and that this Jesus is now Christ. That was his manner. And I read that and I was like, what's our manner? What's our manner when we meet people? What's our manner when we go places? What is it? You know, how's the weather? How you doing? You know, what's it? Where's the best pub in town? You know, what's our manner when we go to places? I said, you know, there's a good manner to imitate. You go places, you know what? And I don't mean, you know, you go stand, you know, completely billboards and walking around the streets, but I mean when we have the opportunity to speak to people, you know, eventually the best thing you can tell them is about Jesus Christ. There's nothing better you have that you know that you can tell them better than about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then let them decide. Right? Pressure is not on you. The onus is on them to believe what you taught them. Acts chapter 9. This is when Paul, the apostle, was converted. When the Lord first spoke to him, in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, and this is, you know, Paul's already been fallen to the ground and blinded and all that, and then it's verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And that's seen in the vision, a man, I love the detail. Details here just kill me. Like, he tells him, you're going to go down the street. The street's called Straight, by the way. You're going to go to the house. The guy who owns the house, his name is Judas. And you're going to call for one guy named Saul. And by the way, he's from Tarsus. Look at the details. Yeah. Then he tells him, and by the way, he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. So he's told Paul that someone named Ananias, like it's, do you think God's clear? Very, very clear. No questions. And putting his hands on it, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath an authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, look, go thy way. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He's going to talk to the children of Israel, to kings and Gentiles. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. This was a radical turnaround for the Apostle Paul. Radical. Absolutely radical. From killing Christians to what just happened to him. What's the first thing that he does? Next verse. Verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. That's what he did. The first thing he does, he turns completely around and immediately starts preaching Jesus Christ. He could have said other things, you know, but no. He could have said, well, I know a lot about Judaism and let me tell you. No, he preached Christ unto them. The first thing he does. As soon as he has a radical turnaround in his life. Let's go now to Acts chapter 26, when he appears before King Agrippa, when he's in captivity. This is, you know, later, much later in his life. In Acts 26, and they allow him to respond to the accusations that were against him. And he replies in Acts 26, verse 1, then Agrippa said unto Paul, Paul, you can speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, and said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa,
I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I did also in Jerusalem. And many of the saints that are shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. That was his radical lifestyle. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, and he talks about that day when the Lord appeared to him, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus, which we just read about, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue, and this is many, many, many years later, he started in Damascus, I continue unto this day, from the time I started, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be first, that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. That wasn't that his manner? Christ needs to die, then God raised him from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ personally called Paul, and many, many years later, and he started preaching Christ, and he's many, many years later, he's before Agrippa, and says, you know what? That's all I've ever done. You know, from the first day that happened to me, and up till now, that's all I've ever done. I've taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that how God raised him from the dead. Right? I mean, it's not a complicated life, is it? He just preached Christ. Look at Acts 28, the last part of Acts, the last verse in the book of Acts. Verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And Philippians chapter 2, a couple more verses. Philippians chapter 2. You know, it's a real comfort in life to know that you're not responsible for the reaction of people you speak the word of God to. You're not. You know, it's also a real comfort that you're not the one who's responsible to back up God's word. Or not. God is. That's his job. You know, and so, you know, there's no pressure to say, well, I hope this works. Well, it's not none of your business. I mean, God is the one who gave us it. It's his word. It's not your word. As soon as you think it's your word, and you think, oh, I got to make this count. No, it's God's word. You introduce somebody to God by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's job, not your job. Right? But you do have a job, which is to open this and tell them about Jesus Christ. And that, you know, and Paul's a great example. That was his manner. And that's what he did in Philippians chapter 1, I should have said. Did I say 2? I meant 1. Philippians 1:12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen, he's in jail this time, unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds, this is his in prison, in Christ are manifest in all palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bond. They're trying to make it harder for him. But they're preaching Christ. Verse 70, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense, these guys, or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, and yea, will rejoice. You see, if he was more concerned about, well, if these guys are preaching against me, well, my ministry is not going to grow. He said, look, I know they're preaching to hurt me, but they're preaching Christ. That's good, because that will get people saved. So it didn't matter if his personal reputation, we know that in Philippians later, he goes, everything I've ever done before this time, I just count it but dung anyway. I want to know about Christ. So he was not concerned that somebody else was preaching to hurt, as long as they were preaching Christ. And that was what he wanted. Right? That was his heart. And we'll close in John 14. John 14. Why do we preach Christ? Well, let the word speak. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may go. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And that's really, the crux of life for every person. He goes, what is the way? What is the purpose of this? What is the way? Where are we going? As the older people get, that seems to become a longer and bigger question a lot of times. But and verse 6 is great. Verse 6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am a way, a truth. He said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the no man, it says, cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other name that can be named. There's no other name. I don't care what it is. You can pick the other dozens or hundreds of possibilities out there. But Jesus Christ is the way. That's why we preach Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. There are no other ways. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we know that. We should know that in the depth of our hearts when we're talking to that person. Those few minutes you might have, you have the words that will take that person from being a person of body and soul to being a person of body, soul, and spirit, having eternal life and the doors open for more blessings than anyone could ever consider possible. So Jesus Christ is still the way, the truth, and the life, and that's why we preach Christ. And that's why that should be our manner of life, just like the people we read off in God's Word. So, we preach Christ, and let's keep preaching Christ.